Getting to Know You, written by Orphan Account, read by Raven. Summary: McCoy's having a bad day, and Scotty isn't making it better. Somehow, they end up as friends. How's that feel now? Dr. McCoy asks as he switches off the dermal regenerator and sets it down. Scott opens and closes his hand experimentally. Tingles a bit, almost pins and needle sensation, but not quite. You have a deft touch, doctor. McCoy steps away from the bio bed, giving Scott room to hop down. You can thank me, he snaps, removing his gloves and dropping them into a disposal chute by not blowing up the goddamn engine room. He turns and starts to stalk off in the direction of his office, rather nettled by his tone. Scott follows. Oi, he says to the doctor's broad back. Not one of my engineers is careless. I can assure you, accidents do happen, though, when you're out here in space without... McCoy stops to confer briefly with Nurse Trapple, who was tending Ensign Levi's and Lieutenant Vell's minor burns. Scott waits for them to finish, listening with relief as Trapple assures McCoy that both officers are on the mend. When she leaves, McCoy looks over at Scott and raises an eyebrow. You were saying, he drawls. Never mind, Scott replies. Thank ye for looking after my men. I do appreciate that. He's tempted to add sarcastically, sorry for the inconvenience, but stops himself in time. Sickbay was rather busy when he, Levi, and Vell first came up here after the fire, and the circles under McCoy's eyes make him think that maybe it has been quite the long day for the doctor. It's my job, McCoy says, touching the wall panel beside his door to his office. The door slides open and he steps in. Unasked, Scott follows. The doctor's office is neat and orderly. A circular rug somewhat softens the austerity of the place, and his various diplomas, which hang on the walls, give it a professional appearance. There's a low shelf lined with books and an ailing plant, unless the leaves are supposed to look like aged banana peels, resides in a clay pot. On his desk, Scott sees a number of pads and a single photo frame, which wasn't there the last time he was in here. Why, who's the bonnie wee lass? Scott asks, indicating the smiling, brown-haired girl in the photo. McCoy slumps in his desk chair. My daughter, Joanna. I can see the resemblance. He can't, actually, except perhaps for the wide cheekbones and the pointed little chin, but it seems like the right thing to say. He didn't know McCoy was a father. The Enterprise left dry dock over a month ago, but they haven't spoken much, at least not about their personal lives. Considering his occasional outbursts on the bridge and the captain's briefing room, McCoy is surprisingly private when he isn't riled up. Hard to be so far away from her, is it? You have no idea, McCoy sighs. Not really, no, Scott agrees. I have a wee nephew, Peter, but it's not quite the same. A brief, humorless smile touches McCoy's lips, then fades. Drumming his fingers on the armrest of his chair, he says heavily, I missed her birthday, first time in 9 years. I even brought her picture down as a reminder to have Uhura set up a channel, but I never had a quiet moment. Scott nods his head in sympathy. That explains McCoy's short temper earlier. She'll understand, McCoy continues. She's a smart girl. She knows things don't always turn out the way you want. I'm afraid I was the one who taught her that, but I was hoping... He glances away. Now I've established a precedent, something I didn't want to do. Well, says Scott, actually, he thinks for a moment, it could work. A cold restart with a controlled matter-antimatter implosion in... Wait, McCoy cuts in, pushing himself up. What are you talking about? Time travel, Scott says, theoretically. As a rule, McCoy says, I disapprove of any plan that includes the words theoretically and implosion. Well, I would have to go over it with Commander Spock, but I really do think... He's aware of McCoy's aghast expression, but what he's really seeing now are equations and calculations. He has no intention of doing it, of course. He isn't completely mad, but it's something he's thought of during idle moments, and he'd love to test his theory at some point, preferably in a laboratory. It's okay, McCoy says. Really, I appreciate the thought, but it's all right. Please, I don't need any more medical emergencies today. How about a drink instead? I've a bottle of Glenlivet in my quarters. The plan had been to spend the remainder of his shift reading mechanical journals in his quarters while his hands finished healing. As the smile returns to McCoy's face, however, he decides it'll be good to have some company. The end. Thank you for listening.